When Bhante Sujatha first asked me to do this talk, I was like, absolutely, you know, Bhante Sujatha asks you to do something, you're like, of course, you know, and I was really cool, like cool as a cucumber at the time. And then now as time has worn on, the gravity of the chief Sangha patron of North America asking me to give a talk has kind of started to sink in, and I was like, whoa, this is a really big deal, you know, and my best friend was like, Jill, don't freak out. So I'm not going to freak out. I had the talk in my mind for a long time, and it was going to be to talk about my beloved teacher Bhikkhunu Wimala and how her guided meditations had made me realize that not only am I my own best friend, but I'm also my own most difficult person, and how that since I'm both, I can wish myself well twice in the same meditation, which is a really cool thing. And actually, my whole talk was going to be about this subject. And this past Thursday, there was an event in my life that caused me to rewrite my speech. So, well, Thursday started as a beautiful day, you know, a typical, a very beautiful summer day. Blue skies, you know, the birds were singing in the trees, and I was kind of skipping happily through my day, and rainbows and butterflies and, you know, that whole thing. And in the morning, I attended a great yoga class by Deirdre here at the with David and Lydia, and it was really a magical class. I almost deemed it special because it was just so nice. And then in the afternoon, I was still, you know, skipping through my day. I was, you know, very happy, and I took a fabulous bike ride. I was coasting along, kind of. I don't know if anybody remembers Pee-wee Herman on his bike, and la la la. And this was kind of how my whole day was going. It was just a really happy day. And I was still kind of, I was still riding these vibes from the kirtan chanting that I'd done early in the morning before I came to the temple. And then the day wore on, and then later that afternoon, still skipping through my day, I returned here to the temple. I do some bookkeeping here, so I came early prior to the 6 o'clock chanting. Meditation so I could get some work done, and then my day changed, and it was a big lesson in how good things come to an end, and everything's impermanent, and how things can change with a phone call. So at about 5:57 here in the office, and I'm not going to cry today, I received a phone call from my boss, where I've been working at a garden center, and a lot of my friends here know that this, I deemed it the best job I've ever had. I really did love the job. I actually thought it was the best job ever that I've ever had, and I've had a lot of them. So anyways, my boss says, hey Jill, except for it was deeper than that because, you know, he's a guy. He says, hey Jill, I won't be needing you tomorrow. He says, the long and short of it is, I no longer have a job for you. And it's okay. Kind of like it is now, the grief kind of started to grip my chest, and I got this big lump in my throat, and my eyes started welling up, kind of like they are right now in this moment. And I said, thank you for calling, and I hung up. So then, you know, the meditation was starting, so I came out and I sat on my cushion and I brought my hands to my chest, and except for it was more like this, because, you know, I was gripping, kind of like my chest was in a, was tight, so my grip was tight, and the only thing I could think to do was chant, "May I be well, happy, and peaceful," and I did that. It kind of matched the speed of my heart racing at the time, so it was like, "May I be well, happy, and peaceful," really fast for 40 straight minutes, so, because that's all I could think to do at the time. Anyway, after meditation, I returned to the office to finish the crying that I started at 5:59, so I thought I needed to. And it wasn't just like one tear, two tear, it was kind of like a waterfall of tears that were kind of like splashing down and off the rocks and flying off my lap, and so, and you know, like spilling on the floor. So it wasn't kind of just like one or two, but it was kind of like this whole like waterfall, and it actually felt really good and very cleansing. But and I decided to text him back, because I think this has a lot to do with the fact that I always have to have the last word. That's just my personality. And it had, you know, that's just how I am. It's like, well, I can't leave it at that, right? So, but my message to him was one of kindness and compassion and gratitude for giving me an opportunity to really experience the best job I've ever had. And so anyway, and then I went home and I cried for 7 more hours. I gave up. And then I woke up at 5 and I cried some more. So, but that's okay, because I think we need to get these things out. I mean, I don't think we should hold this stuff in. I mean, if you want to cry, go ahead and cry. It's a healthy thing. So, you know, it's interesting, because there's this pinpoint of time, a moment in time that's kind of indistinguishable from the rest of the time that we are reacting to things, you know, and it's such an important pinpoint of time, but how you react to things is so important. And at that moment, there were many different reactions available to me, but with the many hours of meditation practice that has prepared me for times of sorrow like this, I chose a reaction that would benefit myself and others. I did not have a preconceived plan to do something that would bring me any karmic merit. I didn't really have time for that. I only had 40 minutes of well, happy, peaceful. But my reaction was heartfelt. And this was a product of many, many, many hours of sitting on cushions here at the yoga lounge and in my home, training my heart and mind toward loving kindness, compassion, mindfulness, and gratitude. All of these things that my wonderful teachers here have helped me on my path. So I can say that his choice to let me go was his choice. I didn't really have control over that. But I did have control over my own reaction, a loving and kind message that would free us both from the pain of this event, the painful event of letting someone go, that's his pain, and the even more painful event of being let go, that's my pain. And actually, his pain might have been greater. I'm really not sure. I don't really know. But and I choose the phrase "let go" because it's so much prettier than "fired," "canned," or the phrase "don't let the door hit you in the bleep on the way out." So anyway, so some of the lessons from this experience are, well, actually, it's this whole thing has just provided me with a great. Well, I was going to say that I really feel like I've relieved myself of a lot of suffering through not reacting in my former Jill 3 years ago might have sent a scathing email or something, you know, and caused myself a lot of suffering. But I really feel like I've relieved myself, and hopefully him too, of so much suffering through this action that in reality, I'm really the biggest recipient of my own gift to him, in that it just kind of keeps multiplying, including providing me with the juicy topic for this Dhamma discussion this evening. And some of the lessons are this. It's given me a chance to really realize that I have a lot of work to do in the field of attachment and letting go, because I was really attached to this job and really difficult to let it go. But I did also realize one thing, that it's not the beginning and the end of something that matters. It's did you thoroughly enjoy it during the process? Like my 4 months there, I actually enjoyed every second I was there. So I have no regrets about that. I realize that I'm maturing. I chose to listen to my own best friend self instead of my most difficult self. That's what I used to do. And that's the first time I've ever done that when losing a job. I used to listen to my difficult self, and that was never ended good. But I also realized that I can sleep well at night knowing that I did not freak out and go ranting and raving like a lunatic. This again was the former Jill, before many years of meditation. I can still perhaps ask him to write a letter of recommendation, but this may be a delusion, I'm not sure. We'll see. I realize that it's best to use words that will lift others up instead of dragging them down, and hopefully he will also pay that forward to someone in the future. I realize that what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And last but not least, receiving bad news 3 minutes before daily meditation practice is a beautiful coincidence. And to end my talk today, I stole this off the internet earlier. It was from Ram Dass, actually posted this. He's the hippie yogi guru, you know, that I love. And his, actually the quote, and Todd can probably help me pronounce it, it's Nichiren. Have you ever heard of that? It's like, he's like some 13th century Japanese Buddhist guy that says, that which you give to another will become your own sustenance. If you light a lamp for another, your own way will be lit. And that's the mic. Any questions?
Does that mean you're available now?
I am. That's what that means, yes. Yes, and that might be another more rewards that are multiplying. If I'm telling my story, maybe I'll get a job. I don't know. You know, it's possible.
There are a lot of garden centers.
Yeah.
Do I still owe for my mulch?
No. No. And no, but they are great people over there. And it really was just a seasonal job. And that was, again, there's another Dhamma lesson in that. I think at some point I was told it was seasonal and I was deluded and thought it would last longer than that. So again, there's delusion. There's another Dhamma lesson, you know, about attaching to stories that have no basis in reality. So... but it's all good. I'm okay now. I mean, but one thing is that through meditation practice, you'll find that you just bounce back so much quicker from these events than in the past. I had things happen to me in the past where it took years and years, and then this one, like 4 days. So I'm really moving along in that area. So. Yeah, that's good. Any other questions or comments?
Did you ever find yourself playing out little scenarios like, well, I should say this, and I should write this, and then catch yourself going, no, that wouldn't be the right thing to do. But you say, you know, if I say this to him, if I do this, I can text him with this, no. And then you keep, did you
Right,
that?
Well, no, like I said, it actually, he called me, it was like almost 6 o'clock, and then I came and I sat on the cushion, and Bhante Soma is great chanting, his ethereal, beautiful voice, you know, and all I could do was just, you know, well, I got through the meditation without crying. I was just trying to get through that, and then, which actually really helped me because it gave me that time to kind of, that whole wishing yourself well, I think, just cultivating compassion for yourself allows you to be compassionate to other people. And so when I got in there, I really didn't give my message a lot of intellectual thought. I really truly think the message was heartfelt and was something that came from my heart. It was something that was genuine. I told him that that I, you know, was very grateful for the opportunity that he'd given me. That I believe in his product. I think he's a very intuitive and creative individual, and that I was just very grateful for the experience. You know, and I sent him blessings to him and his family, and he answered me back and he said, "Well, thank you," and I'll pass that along. And So that's it. So, but there's the difference in, you know, choosing to go with your heart rather than your head. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't always trust these things that are coming out of our, going swimming through our head. You know, all these stories. I could have grabbed some story from, and then like been defensive and said something awful. And I, honestly, that's how I used to be. But I've matured, and that's a great, that's on my path. I feel like I've really matured on my path that way. So, yes, in the past I probably would have done all sorts of drafts of scathing emails before I, but I didn't know. anyway.
Did this change your confidence?
Well, I thought about that too, and what I kept thinking was, because that day was so magnificent, like I was so happy that day and so confident, and it's like, this is your opportunity to show that you can stay on your path, you can stay on your path and not be pulled off your path by these events, and that I think is equanimity. Would that be considered equanimity? About staying on your path and knowing yourself and loving yourself and saying, wait, you know, I'm not this event that just happened. It's very painful to me and I've cried for hours. It's painful, but it's good, you know, you can feel that pain and you can still stay on your path. You can feel pain and you can feel human emotion, but you can stay on your path and you can, you know, be true to your path and go ahead.
The sky is still blue, and the sun is still
shining. Yes.
Still
yes. And they're still there. They were there when I was crying, and they'll be there when I'm done crying. And
and
yeah, and you know what I've thought about too? It's like, wow, this is really a small deal compared to some of the other events in my life that have caused some real pain and trauma. This was pretty small, so I was like, oh, geez. I'll get over it. I mean, I've been over, you know, I've gotten over much bigger things than this. So in terms of, you know, and that's the whole thing about, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, because, you know, the next time around, it's like, well, it's nothing. You should have seen the last thing that happened to me. That was bad. So, yeah. Anything else?
So do you think that when you meditated, right at the same time that you were going through this lowest point in the emotions and everything, when you meditated right at that time, do you think that you made like more progress because you did it right at the time when you were feeling all these different things?
Yeah, I thought about that again. I think that was the whole synchronicity of that. Now, I think synchronicity is just the physical world meeting your psychological world just at that moment. Like that I received that phone call right before meditation was kind of an amazing thing for me in a It just, you know, that I could come and sit and contemplate this, or at least give it some, absorb those words without reacting and just sending myself love and compassion, love and compassion, love and compassion. And I think that's then how I was able to bring that out of my heart instead of ruminating and digging up stories and, you know, maybe grabbing onto something that would be more destructive for me. I really do think that giving my, sending yourself love and compassion, just reinforces that. You know, because I really don't think you can give out what you don't realize for yourself, you know? I think it's an experiential thing, and you have to experience that for yourself and inside yourself before you can lend that out to other people. So it did help, and I was grateful that moment I happened to be here, and it was, just worked out pretty nicely. It could be just a coincidence, or, you know, it's nice that it happened that way, I know that much. Anybody else?
If it didn't happen just before meditation and you were at home, would you have meditated on it?
That's a good question. You know, somewhere in the back of my mind too, I think maybe I may have even had, like, and we all do this, we have some idea that this is coming, like, you know, it's not a complete surprise when someone calls you and says you're, you know, I kind of had some clues over the past few weeks that this might be coming, you know. So I think maybe subconsciously I was like, maybe I better get to the temple in case he calls. No, but you know, it was like maybe just that, you know, feeling, I think when we meditate and we know ourselves, we also become very, very sensitive to the energy in the world around us. And I think maybe in a way, maybe I'm just very sensitive to that. Like, not saying that I predicted that was going to happen, but I don't know, I just maybe I felt this was the best place for me that afternoon, and it turned out to be the best place for me. So, just... Anybody else? But don't feel, no pity. I'm okay now. And I'm free for working. No. Yeah, but I also think something I was thinking about for a long time was how painful it is actually on both sides of that. You know, it's easy to look at yourself and go, "Oh, I'm the victim. I'm being let go from my job." But it's just as painful for the person giving this news. You know, so I think part of me was like, "Well, geez, I really want to free him from this. I don't want him to carry this pain." Why would I want him to carry this pain? I don't want to cause anyone pain. So be free of your pain. You know, I really did feel like I didn't want to cause. I could hear in his voice that it was a difficult thing for him to do. And so I wanted to kind of alleviate. By alleviating his pain, I alleviated my pain. And now we're all pain free. And it's just a good thing. So, but thank you. No, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you.